Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Inside Texas Football, powered by InsideTexas.com. I'm here with managing editor Eric Nahlin, and we are going to talk a little bit about a recap of the week, and I want to break down a little bit of Eric's continuing series going into spring ball, specifically with different position rooms. But before we start, we do have some sad news, and that is the passing of Longhorn legend Kenneth Sims, unanimous All-American, first-round draft pick. There's only been three of those in the University of Texas history. It is quite an
first overall. First overall.
Draft. Yes, thank you. Yeah, that's a
big distinction there.
It's a massive distinction. And I'll be honest, this is a player that predated my fandom. But looking back on the article that Joe wrote, I mean, this person was just an absolute beast. There was a game that happened. It was the 1981 Red River Shootout against number 10 Oklahoma. Dude had 12 tackles as a defensive end. I mean, just an absolute monster. I mean, do you know much about him, Eric? Unfortunately, he's not, like I said before, someone within my sphere.
The first time I would have seen him play would have been against the Bears in the 85 Super Bowl, but he was injured in that game.
Right.
And I remember that game fairly well, actually. It was only 7 years old, but you know, my college football fandom didn't take off in earnest until my move to Texas in early in high school. But obviously, once you start following Texas, you hear about a lot of the old greats, and Kenneth Sims was certainly one of them. And somebody that followed the NFL draft closely, there's always recollections on that. You hear about that. But, you know, my fondest memory now is getting to learn about him more through the subscribers on Inside Texas. A lot of them had classes with him. A lot of them hung out with him, some from neighboring towns that knew him. Everybody speaks very graciously of him. And, you know, it's you always want to pay your respects to the guys that paved the way. You know, we're not doing this without the players putting in all the work that they do over the years. Definitely want to give some love to Kenneth Sims and his family, with his passing at the age of 65.
Absolute legend. One of three Lombardi Trophy winners. Tony DeGrate in 84, Brian Arakpo in 08, and obviously Kelvin Banks in 2024. All our thoughts go out to his family. And again, just an absolute legend. Moving on to some other news this week, and that is that head basketball coach Rodney Terry is still the head basketball coach at the University of Texas. I think sometimes fans have expectations and things that should move quickly, but as we have noted on the site, CDC has admitted that this may not be, not admitted maybe publicly, but this is not necessarily the best cycle for a coaching carousel. So I imagine that there's going to be some due diligence and some patience that goes into a replacement for Rodney Terry, were that to happen.
Yeah, I have an alternate theory. I think that this thing is pretty much done.
Okay.
It's very similar to the David Pierce situation in baseball where, you know, fans were, you know, what's going on? Why haven't they made a move yet? And then the move came very swiftly right after the College Baseball World Series. Now, the tournament is ongoing right now, and I think that's analogous to the College World Series. Sure. Even though Texas's target was playing in the final game, obviously Jim Schlossnagel was the guy the whole time. I think they're just following a similar template. They might want to wait for the end of the tournament to make a public decision both on Rodney Terry's future and who the hire will be. So I think it's just kind of a holding pattern. The tournament buys them time to really do diligence. Maybe get some final notes on the guys that are still coaching. They're obviously looking at the NBA as well. I think it's just one of those things. Texas is going to be patient, methodical, and let things play out. But, yeah, we know that for a fact that they're not a fan of this hiring cycle. Sure. I'm sure that they have a lot of reasons for that probably don't immediately spring to mind for those of us on the outside. But, you know, I think, they wanted Rodney Terry to succeed, obviously. They sure would prefer that he made a run in the tournament. And to bring him back, but that's very, very not likely to happen. And now we're going to probably follow the same template that we saw with baseball. That's my speculation. I'm not necessarily reporting that as fact.
Well, no, I appreciate that. And that is a very positive take coming from you. I like that a lot. That's good. It shows that the guys have been doing their due diligence and they've been targeting people that they want to bring on board. Eric has just left. He didn't really want to participate in this any longer, but I do want to talk a little bit about Bobby's comment here of get Bill Self. Now, Bill Self lives in Lawrence, Kansas. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Lawrence, Kansas. It's ostensibly a Colorado mountain town in northeastern Kansas. It was very close to Kansas City, so it's really, really nice. The point I'm saying there, I just don't think Austin can compete just in terms of geographical regioning and certainly the amenities that Austin brings to, you know, the experience of living there. So I think Bill Self is probably going to stay at Kansas. Could be wrong, but I think that a lot of that has to do with the fact that Lawrence is a superior town. We are going to get Eric back. Hopefully we can see that he's decided to leave us. But I do want to give you a little bit of a preview of what Eric has been doing this last week leading up to spring camp. Spring camp, as we know, starts on Tuesday, which we have every single week, a Tuesday. But this one is Tuesday, March 25th, 2025, the start of Texas spring camp. Now, spring camp brings a lot of excitement, a lot of energy, a lot of unknowns. And what Eric has been talking about throughout this period is breaking down those particular unknowns and what they mean to specific position groups. So I encourage you to go to InsideTexas.com. Please read his series. It is called the Spring Camp Series. But when we get him back, we are absolutely going to break that down. We're going to talk about three rooms today. The first one we're going to talk about is the wide receiver room, then the running back room, which there's been a lot of speculation that we might bring in a transfer. We'll see about that and get Eric's opinion on that. And then we're going to talk about the interior defensive line room. But before we do that, I would love to hear from our sponsor today. And that is our friend, Andre the Lawyer.
This video is brought to you by Andre the Lawyer. If you're injured, trust the team that secured millions for their clients and helped thousands of Texans with their injury case. Car wrecks, slip and falls, 18-wheeler accidents, on-the-job injuries, and wrongful deaths. Don't let insurance tell you what your claim is worth. Hire Andre the Lawyer to fight for you. Principal office is in Dallas, but they serve Texans throughout the state. So don't wait and call Andre the Lawyer today at 214-444-444. 8808. That's 214-444-8808. The contact information is in the description.
I was just talking to Eric. He's having some internet problems. Anyway, let's talk about the wide receiver room, okay? The wide receiver room, a lot of speculation. Two basic traits that we're hearing a lot about the wide receiver room is they are young and they are inexperienced. And when you hear those two things, the first thing that comes to mind is probably abject fear. You're thinking to yourself, look, as Ian Boyd has pointed out, one of the force multipliers that we have is that outside receiver, especially in a spread offense. So what do we do with that? Well, fortunately, the other trait that's involved with this is talent. This is a very young and talented group. DeAndre Moore specifically has been highlighted a lot this week on InsideTexas.com, as well as this very channel. And I invite you to go there and read about DeAndre and also check out our previous videos highlighting him, certainly in the deep dive. One thing that I really want to talk about is what Eric classifies as his X factor. And that X factor is Ryan Wingo. As someone that has spent a lot of time talking football with Eric, I can tell you that he's been very bullish on Ryan and his ability to get open as a large receiver. So this is something we're very much looking forward to. As Victor is saying, and I appreciate Victor's point of view on this, you know, we need a veteran wide receiver from the portal. Well, that seems to have been the recipe the last few years, right? So I can appreciate why that might be something that they go for. And that's not to say that they don't. One aspect of all of this is just one thing that I think doesn't get talked about is just in terms of availability. Wide receivers, defensive backs, as again, Ian points out, you could throw a ball down any street in Dallas, Texas, and somebody's either going to catch it or bat it away. Those are positions that are readily available. That being said, if a wide receiver does become available that Sark really likes, and let's be honest, that's probably going to be a burner on the outside, then I imagine, yeah, they may go to the portal and grab something. But again, you know, I think Roaster's right here. Are we going to see another wide receiver in the spring portal? Who's to say? But I do want to, let's bring Eric back on now that the internet is working in the desert that he lives in. Eric, talk to me a little bit about a player that you've certainly been bullish on, and that is your X factor in the wide receiver room, Ryan Wingo.
Well, first of all, none of these guys should be confused on whether or not they're going to take a portal receiver. I've said it 100 times. Are you giving them a false read on this, LC? I wasn't
probably. I like for them to think for themselves and not just come to here for answers.
I want them to outsource their thinking on when we report stuff. They're going to get a wide receiver out of the portal. We feel confident about that. So that's, you know, anybody that reads Inside Texas knows that one's not really in dispute.
So you're saying they're not going to take one in the portal?
Are we glitching again? No, I've been saying for months. I've been saying for months they're going to take a wide receiver in the portal for months.
Well, I totally get that. I guess my question is, it seems to me that this is something, as I just pointed out, because everything is readily available. It's a non-starter. Like, yes, they could do it. Yes, they couldn't. But it seems like this is what they do every cycle, right?
I mean, that's pretty much what they do. Yeah. This year is, you know, once they start getting more high school recruits that meet their standards, you know, it should be less of a focus. They shouldn't need to take three.
I think that's fair.
So yeah, they're going to look for a guy that has starter upside and that will probably be drafted. That's just what they're doing right now. But as for Ryan Wingo, they're not going to get a guy more talented than Ryan Wingo. I promise you that. Ryan Wingo is as talented as pretty much any wide receiver in the country. You know, he can win so many different ways. He can win after the catch. He can win when the ball's in the air. You could throw it to him short. You could throw it to him deep. He's a yak monster. He just explodes out of his routes once he catches the ball. And I expect him to take another step. I think he should have been used more last year on specific calls. Slants, but where you just design yourself, you're going to get the ball to Ryan Wingo no matter what on this play. I think that was a missed opportunity for Steve Sarkisian. But this year, you know, he's going to have to demonstrate that he's on the same page with the quarterback when it comes to reading coverages. Outside of that, I think he's going to blow up. I'm expecting 10 touchdowns out of the guy next year.
All right. Okay. That's not nothing. If you had to say today in your article, you've got starting, essentially, you've got Wingo, Lockett at the boundary, McCutcheon and French in the slot, and Livingstone and Butler to the field. There's some young talent in that list.
I like the fact that they've got Butler and Livingstone in their second year. Now, that gives them a little bit of a head start on the young guys. Dalen McCutcheon has a golden opportunity at slot with DeAndre Moore not participating during the spring. I think that's going to necessitate them moving Jamie French there as well. Jamie has all the movement skills, the stop-start ability that you want in the slot. So that's going to be fun to learn about those two. And then Khalik Lockett, I think, is tailor-made to play behind Wingo this year. But if he's good enough to be if he beats out Livingstone and Butler, he's going to play on the other side of the field. I think right now he kind of fits what they're looking for. Outside, he's got tremendous ball skills, good hands. You really want that in the boundary receiver because that's a lot of times where you go to on third and seven, third and eight, third and ten, whatever.
Yep.
They've got a lot of pieces to work with, but they are a little green. They're very inexperienced, especially the spring without DeAndre Moore. Ryan Wingo is the elder statesman in that room.
Yeah, it's a fair point. Yeah.
So that's why everybody's talking about portal. But yeah, they definitely need to go to a portal. Roaster asked this. Why, Roaster, come on, man. What am I going to do? I'm going to come on YouTube and say who it is like that. First of all, nobody would ever talk to me again that I need information from. And second, it would just hurt Texas's chances. So that's one of those things you're going to have to let play out. It reminds me a bit of the Adonai Mitchell situation when he went in extremely late. Everybody was worried and mad at me. You said they were going to get somebody. This one's just going to see if they can they're going to still have to pull it off, right? Every school is going to be after this guy once he goes in. Including the school will want to keep him. But, you know, they tend to pull off these things when they need to.
Another room where staying on the offensive side of the ball, I want to move to running back. So let's review some of the pieces that the running backs coach Chad Scott has at his disposal. He's got 1,000-yard rusher Trey Wisner. He's got players on the mend, as you pointed out, CJ Baxter, Christian Clark, true freshman James Simon, and Ricky Stewart Jr., and a running back who has yet to meet a defender that he didn't want to run through, and that is Jarrett Gibson. Your article covers all of these guys. And again, I highly recommend that you guys check that out. But I want to talk a little bit about Jarrett Gibson because it seems, based on what your sources are telling you, they're very high on him going into the spring.
Yeah, absolutely. They anticipate him being a volume back, probably the lead back this season. You know, they love what Trey Wisner brings to the table. But Jerick is a little bit more natural and a little bit better at getting, getting yards after contact, navigating between the tackles. They're going to run a lot more between the tackles than they did last year. We're going to have some exciting updates on schematic changes that they're coming. They feel like they're going to retool the way that they want to run the ball with this new offensive line. It's all tied together. It's all tied in Arch Manning as well.
Yeah.
And they just feel like there's a lot of different things they can do on offense with the new personnel. It's basically a personnel overhaul, a lot of turnover on offense. And that's going to benefit Jerick Gibson. They're going to run more gap schemes. I think he's going to blow up the season, not only because of his talent, but it's kind of sets up well from opportunity wise with the way that the running back room is currently shaping up. Now, I am reversing course a little bit based on the latest intel. I do think that there's a bigger chance at them taking a running back out of the portal. News has kind of been all over the place on that, but I think latest information that we're getting is that it's more likely than not that they'll seek out a running back in the portal. But I think Jerick Gibson is far and away the most likely to lead the team in carries. And if that happens, he's going to lead them in touchdowns and yards as well.
When we talk about the kind of the mixed news that we're getting about whether a certain position group will bring a player in from the transfer portal, a lot of that also just has to do, quite frankly, with who is going to be available. And that's really, I would have to imagine that's a lot of back channel stuff between agents, whether we're even finding out whether the kid even wants to leave his respective school. Is that a fair way of looking at that?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times they have an idea who's going in. I mean, that's the only way I could have an idea of who's going in, was like agents talking and just, the information through the grapevine. A lot of times in schools, they'll be tipped off in advance. Hey, this guy might go. And then you're still beholden to whether or not the player actually goes in. And a lot of it's wait and see. I could tell you that there's guys that went in the portal this year that Texas thought were going to go in even 2 years ago. And then again last year, and it didn't happen. And then when that player finally went in, everybody got excited. Texas is going to go after. I said, no, Texas got tired of being rope-a-dope.
Yeah.
So that's, you're beholden to what actually goes into the portal. We'll have time to cover that. I don't think it's an accident that Texas's spring ball is not over until right after the portal closes. I mean, that's exactly, that's the only way to do it, honestly. That's not just a coincidence. Oh man, dude, I got my kid back there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. He's hosing himself off. It's
good. So right before we come on, He's watching that movie Coco, and he breaks out his guitar. Like, that's the absolute worst thing you could possibly break out right now with us about to go on.
I don't know.
Oh, man.
So, just let the kid cook. I totally get it. Let's talk about the interior defensive line. That was the third position group that we want to talk about. You've already written about the linebackers. That is up on InsideTexas.com right now. But let's talk about the interior defensive line. This is a position of need everywhere in the nation, primarily due to scarce resources. I mean, large human beings, there's not that many of them. Large human beings that can move, there's even fewer. Large human beings that can move and play football, there's even fewer. So this is a scarce resource that every school is going after. And it's certainly something that I think is always going to be talked about in the transfer portal every year just because of that scarcity, even if you've got a relatively good room. We did bring in three portal additions, and that was Cole Brevard, Travis Shaw, and Hero Canoe. So what with those three, and you did an excellent job of outlining what the coming weeks are going to mean for them.
Mm-hmm.
But what specifically about those three is encouraging to you as they've come in? You did note that their game tape might actually suggest that they're better than they were advertised as.
What I love about those three is they're right on time for Texas to get the best out of them. This is their year where they're going to start playing their best ball. So, and Texas didn't have to spend all this time developing them, which, there's a bit of a negative to that too, because you want them developed within your schemes and culture. Purdue gets Cole Brevard for 3 years or 4 years, and now he's finally about to play his best season, and now he's going to have that season in orange and white. Same goes for Travis Shaw, who was a bit of a bust and a disappointment as a five-star recruit. But then he started looking like it the last season and maybe a little bit the year before that. But now Texas is about to get him when he's playing for a contract. Yeah. Hero Canoe had to sit behind very talented players at Ohio State, was getting ready to get in the rotation this season, and now he's going to get those snaps at Texas. So all these guys are at perfect timing to play their best football at Texas. They're going to look for another one too. So it's a pretty weird room when you look at it. It's three portal guys, three extremely talented freshmen, And then Alex January kind of sitting there in the middle. And Melvin Hills was there last year too, as like the only bridge between the freshmen and the upperclassmen. It's a weird room because they've had some recruiting misses, but it's starting to heal itself through good recruiting last year.
One of the players that you and I noted when we were sat at Jerry World watching that semifinal game was Alex January was getting some meaningful snaps in that game, which was really encouraging, especially moving forward. What is it about his development that has you excited coming into this next year?
Well, we're hearing all the right things about him. You know, when he got there, it's kind of big. He's a little over 320, and you're thinking, man, is he going to turn into just a plugger or what? Because you saw a lot more athleticism, even dating back to when he was a freshman in high school at Duncanville. You could see the athleticism. And running the base paths as a big boy, you could see him move. And I was a little discouraged by him being so big because, you know, you want him to be as quick as possible so they can make plays in the backfield in addition to holding their gaps. Right now we're hearing that he's leaned up quicker. We've got guys saying he's going to give the SEC problems this year, which I think is a little ambitious. I would probably give it, I would probably wait till his junior where I think he's a real problem. But I think he's going to be a good rotational player this year and make his share of plays. I think it's going to have the size type of season that foreshadows him trampolining into the next season and being a breakout player. We're hearing all the right things. Right now, he's probably about 310 pounds, maybe 315, but it looks a lot different than it used to be. It's not just 5-pound difference.
I understand. Yeah.
Yeah. So we heard he looks like a big edge. Hey, get out of here, knucklehead. He's at the age where he doesn't even wear a shirt, so he doesn't even have the decency to put on a shirt in front of
him. Well, I do appreciate the parenting tutorial. It worked very effective.
So January looks like a big edge. I think he's going to show some ability getting in the backfield. I think he's got a chance to play that big defensive end position that we saw Alfred Collins and Vernon Broughton play. Yep. So there's going to be times when they want to get big, and you can still have Cole Brevard out there, Shaw, maybe Hero Canoe, maybe January, where, you know, you're going to be able to shut down the run with three defensive linemen and then, you know, a bunch of linebackers and coverage men behind them. He's right on time to play a lot this season. And, yeah, you're right. We were sitting there in Jerry World. We're like, wait, January's out there? January and Colton Vosick. We're like, what's going on here? We didn't anticipate that. But that tells you a lot about how the staff feels about January's upside. He's a hungry player, maturing. Kid's going to end up in the NFL if he continues this current pace.
This has been a really good series. I think getting people primed for Tuesday, March 25th, that's when spring camp starts. We encourage you to go over to InsideTexas.com. Eric has already released an article on the linebackers, so you're getting a sense of what each room and the expectations might be going into spring. Obviously, spring portends a lot of new information for everybody as we get more data points. So go to InsideTexas.com, check out the information that is there. There's a lot of good stuff, and we really encourage you to join us over there. Thanks so much. You guys have a great Saturday.